Hebrews chapter number 12, reading one verse, verse number 14. The Bible, the writer says, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Praise God. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Praise God. You're not going to see the Lord without holiness. You've got to have holiness. Praise God. And so I believe that we are on lesson 5. This is week number 8. Here we are at lesson 5. And we will just go from here. I don't know if I will finish this part here tonight. But I so want the Lord to move. And I feel like, I really feel like that God is going to help us here tonight. I believe that God has a key for somebody here tonight. You're just going to have to open your hands and be ready to receive it. Praise God. But if you like fighting and not winning, then you just keep your hands closed and you keep your mouth shut and stuff like that, and you'll just continue to struggle. You'll continue to be on top some days and not on top the other days. But if you'll get what the word of the Lord has to say tonight, amen, God's ready to give you a key out of your dilemma. Praise the Lord. Why don't we just go to the Lord in prayer here today? God of heaven, we love you. We appreciate you and we thank you, Jesus, for all that you have done, for your mercy and for your goodness, God. I pray, Lord, that you would help us here tonight. We pray for those that are sick in body. God, I'm praying that you would heal their bodies, not only, God, for their benefit, Lord God, but so that they would be able to be in church this Friday night. I pray, God, that you would keep your hand upon them as well, upon us as well that are well. God, that we would continue to be well. We believe, God, that you're able to heal the spirit, the soul, and the body, and that you're able to help and to keep us, God, in Jesus' name. Be with those that are not here tonight, asking you somehow, some way or another, God, to minister to their spirits and their hearts, God, as they tune in tonight. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen and amen. God bless you, and you may be seated today. Praise God. For several weeks, we have been endeavoring to dive into the subject of holiness, and we started off with just simply being a Christian, and I believe that that is utmost the probably the easiest way to define it in our manner of holiness, and that is if we would just strive to be Christ-like. Amen. Strive to be Christ-like. I want to be Christ-like. Praise God. I want to be Christ-like in all things that are possible. Praise God. And then we learned, just learning who God is and what God would have us. And then we got into the whole man. And we're not going to go into that, even though that there is more, and maybe at some point in time we'll visit that. But let me just talk to you here for a little while about the basis of what true holiness really is. Right. Amen. Here the Bible, the writer says to the Hebrew church, or to those that are, amen, that the Hebrews, he says, amen, to follow peace with all men and holiness. So there are two things that they are to follow after, and they are to follow after peace, and they are to follow after holiness. And the literal translation simply reads, always pursue peace with all men and holiness. Amen. In other words, there is never a good time to set any type of holiness or Christianity on the shelf and feel as if you are mature enough to stop, that you're so mature that you have no room for improvement. But it says, and we're going to get into a little bit of that here tonight, but it says, always pursue. Amen. Pursue, in that Greek word there, is the present imperative, diakeet, and it is a rather demanding Greek verb. And it involves the idea of the chase, as of one that is hunting, and that they that the ideology of it is that we are to chase it, to pursue it, to hunt it, to not let it evade us, to escape us, to get away from us. And even when we feel like we've made a mistake and got off on the wrong track, amen, we backtrack because of the hunger to get back on the right track, that we can find what we are looking for. And the prey that we are looking for, the prey that is to be sought, is first the irene, which is the peace, and then it is the hagiosmon, which is holiness. And these things simply do not appear by osmosis in the life of the believer. Just because that you have received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, just because that you may have a few months or a few years under your belt, does not necessarily make you a holy individual. But the writer here indicates the importance that the believer must pursue after holiness. Amen. Must follow. And it's not just in following as I am being led in this way. Amen. But holiness and peace have a way whether I choose to be a part of it or not. And if I fall behind, the responsibility is upon me to quickly catch up, amen, that I may be able to learn everything about it. The idea of holiness comes from the Greek hagios, and it basically carries the idea of separateness and apartness, which is the essential sacredness unto God. We know that in that God is holy, that God does not fellowship with unrighteousness. What righteousness hath fellowship with unrighteousness? We've already talked about that. Fellowship does a holy God have with unholy humanity? Amen. The only fellowship is the calling unto repentance. Amen. And you must understand that the doctrine of separation being involved in that is that you will be separate from God, or you will be separate from sin. But there is no way that you can serve two masters. Praise God. Amen. The word holiness did not initially originate with the Greek or even the Hebrew. But in reality, the origin of holiness is Sumerian. And the meaning of it differently means to, it is withdrawal. Amen. Withdrawal from the natural things of life, amen, the carnal ways of life, to withdraw, to separate yourselves, amen, from that carnal nature. And in reality, when using and finding the origin of this word, that it was first mentioned in referring unto the Garden of Eden, the Garden of God. And therefore, the original concept of holiness is simply a returning to the position that man had with God in creation from the beginning. That is the ideal of holiness. We know that sin separated man from God. We know that sin brought shame unto the man through his nakedness, and to the woman by her nakedness. And in this, they hid themselves from God. They separated from God because that they were in connection with sin. sin. Amen. We know the story and how that God would redeem them, but he puts them out of the garden. And then today we always can go about and we can simply say, if Eve had not, what kind of life would we be living today? If Adam had not, then what could we be experiencing today? The answer is God hath provided a way called holiness. And that the closer we draw to holiness, and the more that we learn and operate in holiness, amen, that we enter that place that God first designed for man. Amen. That place of communion with him. That place where he desires to come down and to commune with mankind. Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost here tonight. Amen. How often is it said that I wish that God would speak to me? Amen. And I know that God speaks to us through the preaching of the Word of God. But can I simply say to you today that the closer we get to God, the more we are going to hear, amen, the precious utterings of the Lord. The closer we get to God, the more we are going to be able to feel the very heartbeat of our Lord and Savior. Amen. This alone explains why, amen, it is important. And it explains the strength that is incorporated in holiness, and why it is imperative that in order to achieve complete holiness, we must be entirely God. God's not going to share his secrets, amen, with people that are playing around with the world. God's not going to share a relationship, amen, with those that are straddling the church fence, half in and half out. God's not going to share, amen, his essential power, amen, like he desires to, with people that are half-hearted about seeing it. But Brother Josh, there's something on the inside of me, amen, that draws me back. I want to see it. I want to see things that I've never seen before, Brother Worse. I want to experience a depth like I've never experienced before. I want to experience a relationship, Brother Michael, that I have yet to experience. Oh yeah, I've been in the church for over 33 years, but there's something about it that says this isn't good enough. I appreciate what I've felt. I appreciate what I've experienced. I appreciate the testimony that I have, but there is a desire. I've got to see more. I've got to experience more. I want more. And God is calling his church unto holiness.
Praise God. Praise God. It doesn't stop there. But he said to follow peace, to always to pursue holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. And so we look at that next stanza, without which. And the preposition, chloris, which is the without, or it simply means to separate or without. And the ablative relative pronoun ha, which informs us that these are essential to the Christian experience. Amen. All right. Amen. You see how we can quickly and easily read in our Bible, amen, when it says, always pursue peace with all men and holiness, without which no one shall see the Lord. And it's very, very easy to read over that. But when you begin to dig into the meanings there, amen, these things are essential unto the Christian experience. Very few are the times when things are designated as essential with reference to acts and attitudes of the believers. But there is no stepping around or listening around these definite elements. And I put listening around because in Hebrews chapter number 2 and verse number 2, He said that the word spoken, and he said, if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, then how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? We've got to keep our ears open and attuned unto the heavenlies. Amen. Holiness, listen to me tonight. Holiness is just as essential and just as true and relevant to salvation as John 3:3 is, which says, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again of water and the Spirit, he cannot see the kingdom of God. I want you to know tonight that holiness is as essential to the believer. For Paul writes and he says, without which, amen, without which no man shall see the Lord. You got to understand that when you are born again of the Spirit and you are filled with the Holy Ghost, that there is a conflict that arises within you, in where the old sinful nature begins to do battle with the new spiritual nature called the Holy Ghost. And the battle begins because of these two natures in complete contrasting opposites towards one another. Amen. We have to know that the new inner nature begins to work on that old man that we are born with. And that old nature is the dominant man. And the outer man reflects that way and reflects that identity of the old inner man. And the devil does not want you to be holy, for he knows the power of true holiness. And so we must do our best to win this battle if we are going to be saved. Always pursue holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. The resistance that we face comes from our carnal mind and the nature that we must be subdued and brought into submission to the Holy Ghost. Praise God. That battle that is there. Amen. Romans chapter number 8 and verse number 7. Amen. Tells us a little bit about this. Go ahead.
Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be.
Amen. It is not subject. In other words, it does not submit itself up to the laws of God. Listen to me here today. Amen. That is your nature. That is my nature. That if we allow it, amen, it'll go chaotic extremely quick. And so we must be able, amen, to readily bring it into submission and submit it to the laws of God. Why? Simply because holiness is not optional. 2 Corinthians chapter number 7 and verse number 1. Read.
Having therefore these promises,
dearly beloved,
let us cleanse
ourselves
from all filthiness,
from the filthiness
of the flesh,
of the body,
and the spirit.
Perfecting holiness
in the fear of God.
Amen. There is an ongoing work that we have to strive for, in that he says perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Amen. That does not mean that you're going to have it all at once. That does not mean, amen, that you're going to wake up one day and you're going to have conquered it once and for all. That's what the Nazarene doctrine believes. It's called the place of entire sanctification. In other words, that I get to the place that I am so holy that I'm no longer tempted by the world any longer. I want you to know tonight that it doesn't matter if you're 5 years old or 105 years old. As long as you have breath in your body, you are going to be fought by your adversary.
Oh, that's right.
And so perfecting means means continuing to work on until finished. It bears in mind perfecting until perfected. In other words, I cannot stop, but I've got to bring this work unto completion. And the only hope that we have is that we have to a place at the point of death. Amen. That God in his orderly statement of calling us home, amen, that we are at a place of acceptance. Why? Because without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. I just feel this in the Holy Ghost here today. You're not going to wake up one of these days and wind up in heaven and think to yourself, wow, how did I ever get here? I know that all of us have that feeling, amen, that we are not worthy, amen, to be here. But let me just tell you that when you wake up one day and you hear him say, well done, thou good and faithful servant, you're going to know that every day that you got up and you continued to perfect holiness was worth it. Every day that you got up and you pursued after holiness was worth it. You're going to thank God that you never got weary in the journey. Amen. You may have been tired, but you didn't give up. The temptation may have been strong, and the temptation may have been hard, but you've got to stand the course and make it. Oh, let's give the Lord praise tonight. Praise God. Amen. In the New Testament church, God chose to write his laws in our hearts through faith in the Holy Ghost. Hebrews chapter number 10, verse number 16.
This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws.
I'm going to put my laws
into their hearts.
Into their hearts.
And in their minds.
And in their minds.
Will I write them?
Will I write them? And so we do not live for God. Here's what we're starting to get into the key here today. We do not live for God because of an outward ordinance. We do not live for God because of outward ordinances, but rather we live for God because that his spirit dwells in our hearts. I feel heavy here today because somebody needs some help tonight. Praise God. If we are filled with the Holy Ghost, then we are going to be willing to be led by the Spirit.
Yeah.
You've been redeemed. You've been sanctified. And you cannot follow the Spirit and not obey the Word. Because the Spirit does not contradict his Word. I said his spirit does not contradict his word. You cannot call yourself a Christian and walk contrary to the word of God. Let me take this a step further. Amen. You cannot call yourself a Christian and say, well, I'll just go repent later. Walking contrary to the word of God. You're living on dangerous ground.
Come on. Yes, that's good. Right.
This is a sacred thing.
Right.
This is a holy entity. Amen. This is an intimate thing with God that he has allowed us to come into contact with him because that he is a holy God. And you weren't holy, and I wasn't holy, and there was nothing about me that was desirous, but God in his mercy and his love and his grace, without me having anything to offer to him, he opened up his realm unto me and allowed me to grace the holy presence of his entity.
And I believe that too many of us are casually, flippantly walking through this life of Christianity. Amen. You've got the mentality of of some four-year-old. Amen. That could just care less and that just skips and just lollies all the way through life. Amen. Just, oops, I made a mistake. Amen. This is greater than that. Amen. This is salvation. This is eternity. Amen. And you've got to understand what the value of your soul is. Amen. If the devil is willing to do anything that he can to get your soul, and God is willing to lay down his life to win your soul, then you tell me what the price of your soul is. Amen. I want you to know that the devil knows the value of your soul, and God knows the value of your soul. You need to wake up and understand what God is doing for you in his mercy and his grace. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. I go back to the etymology of the word holy. And we see that it reflects whole, W-H-O-L-E, and holy, W-H-O-L-L-Y, or entirely and completely. Yeah. 1 Thessalonians 5:23.
And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly.
He sanctifies us entirely.
And I pray God, your whole spirit,
your entire spirit,
and soul,
your entire soul,
and body,
and your entire body,
be preserved blameless
unto the coming
of the Lord Jesus Christ.
We know that holiness is inextricably tied with sanctification, separation, and redemption. And the battle is the submitting our flesh to the leading of the Spirit. Galatians 5:16.
This I say then,
walk
in the Spirit. And ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh.
Praise God. Amen. That's what God is helping us with. Amen. There's keys. And we're going to get into this in a greater depth. Amen. But this is where it all starts off. 1 Peter 1:16. We've used this as a text for several weeks. And we read here, amen, where it says, be ye holy, for I am holy. Praise God. Amen. This was a quote taken from the Old Testament in Leviticus. Amen. But I want you to know that God did not stop being holy when we changed testaments and covenants and walked on over into the New Testament. But the holy God of Israel, the holy God of the Old Testament, walked into the New Testament and allows everybody to partake of that holiness. And it is only natural that we can conclude from reading this command of be ye holy, for I am holy. Amen. That it is that not only is God the God that we serve a holy God, but we can and we should be holy as well. It is not only possible and attainable for us to be holy, but it is commanded that we should be holy. What am I saying here tonight? I'm saying that this holy God, amen, in that Isaiah would look, and that when he would decry, that the angels would be saying, holy, 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 amen, crying out, amen. John even said in the book of Revelations, chapter 4, that the four beasts would stand around and they would cry out, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, he that which was and is to come, the Almighty, amen. Isaiah declared him holy, amen. The beast declares him to be holy. Amen. Some would say thrice holy. That doesn't put just a holiness on three persons. Oh, but it accentuates and magnifies, amen, to a greater degree the holiness of God. And when we look at that, we might think of ourselves that is an obtainable
unattainable. But God is not going to command us to be something that we could never be. Amen. He says, be ye holy. In other words, you can be holy. It is obtainable to be holy. Don't lie to yourself and think, I'll never line up. I'll never get to that mark. I'll never achieve it. God is saying, I'm calling you up here, because when you get up here, you'll never want to go back down there. He is calling us, amen, in a way that is called holiness, in the road of holiness, to the mountain of holiness, around the throne of holiness. And God is saying, I'm asking you to be this, commanding you to be this, and therefore you can be. We serve a holy God, and he wants his people to be holy as well. Amen. The fact that that word holiness is a Sumerian form points back to the Garden of Eden, lets us know that the mind of God for his people and the relationship that he desires to have with his people in 2023 is such as he had with Adam and Eve back in the beginning of creation.
Right.
He said, that's what I want. Yeah. That's the way that I want to be. Amen. But you can't have that. Amen. When you got all the lust of the flesh and all these other things that are working in your life, praise God, you can't have that. And then you feel the struggle, and the struggle is real. And the reason that the struggle is real is because, amen, that carnal nature that you're not willing to submit, that you're not willing to destroy, that you're not willing to kill out, fighting with that spiritual nature. Amen. Here's part of you saying, well, I want to live for God. I want to do this and stuff. And here's this carnal nature saying, but I don't want to let go of all the world. I don't want to let go of the things of the world and stuff. That's that struggle that is there. And it's real. And it's real. But the responsibility to be holy is upon us.
Right.
It's not upon God. It's not upon God that we look and say, okay, God, here I am. Pour out your holiness upon me. No, the commandment is given unto us. He said, pursue it, perfect it, and be it. Praise God.
Right.
Amen. Be ye holy, the perfect present. Extensional equality of our being to be holy is simply reflects that we are to become holy. Amen. And that's the journey that we have discussed there in Hebrews 12 and 14. Always pursuing.
Yeah.
2 Corinthians 7 and 1. Always perfecting. And 1 Peter 1 and 16. Striving to be holy. Praise God. Praise God.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. I just think that it's extremely important and vital for us to understand that we cannot become slack and wayward and content in this way of holiness. Amen. Praise God. I'm going to get there here in just a moment. Amen. But so many of us, listen to me today. Amen. So many of us, amen, are in this place that because of what we wear, we feel like we are holy and we stop. And we're going to talk about that here tonight. Amen. Praise God. We're going to get into that here tonight. Praise God. Let's go to Philippians chapter number 3 and verse number 12.
Not as though I had already attained.
Paul said, I haven't arrived.
Either were already perfect.
I wasn't perfect.
But I follow after.
I'm following after.
If that I may apprehend.
That I may gain.
That for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus.
That which God wants me to gain.
Yes. Yeah. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended.
I'm not up here saying that I've got it all figured out and that I've got it.
But this one thing.
But I am going to tell you what I am doing.
I do. Forgetting those things which are behind.
I'm forgetting about what happened yesterday
and
what happened today at about 3 o'clock in the afternoon and what happened this evening at about 5 o'clock. If it's behind me, I can't do anything about it.
Right.
I forget about those things.
Yes. and reaching forth unto those things which are before.
Because when I'm trying to, amen, remember everything that's gone on behind me, when I'm dwelling on the past, when I'm living in yesterday's condemnation, then I'm not reaching forward to the things that are ahead of me. And if I'm not reaching forward to the things that are ahead of me, that's because the devil, amen, is master in my life and causing me to live in yesterday.
Yeah. Amen. Amen. I press toward the mark.
And therefore I press towards the mark.
For the prize.
He said, I'm not stopping. I'm pressing because there's something to gain.
Yes. Of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus.
I'm pressing towards the mark. Amen. Of the prize of the high calling. Amen. God in Christ Jesus. Amen. I didn't set the goal. I didn't set the mark. I didn't put the target. God did. And he said, look, here's the target, and it's to be holy. And that's what I want you to do. And Paul said, I can get all tangled up in yesterday, or I can forget about yesterday. I can forget about the mistakes that I made. Amen. I didn't say don't learn the lesson of yesterday. Amen. But when you sit there all tangled up and tied up, amen, in the past mistakes, then you're not going to be aiming and shooting for the target that is yet ahead of you.
Oh, come on.
Let me read it to you in the English Standard Version. Amen. This got me super excited. Paul said, not that I have already obtained this or that I am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it on my own. But one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind me, straining forward to what lies ahead, I press towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Paul said it's always going to be upward. I don't care if it's Monday or Saturday. It's always going to be upward. The devil wants to bring me down. Let me remind you that if it's trying to pull you down, it's because it's beneath you. But Jesus said, I'm going to give you power to walk on top of some things. And so if you feel the devil pulling you down, just stomp him a couple of little times and get him to turn loose. And so there are the present participles, forgetting and reaching, forgetting those things. In other words, this has got to be a day-by-day thing. You know why? Because you're not perfect and neither am I. And you're going to make mistakes. We don't justify mistakes because we don't continue in sin that grace may abound. But when I fall, I shall arise. And I'm going to forget some things. Because that's the master plan of the devil. Amen. Is to get you to major upon the things that you did wrong.
Yeah. Amen.
And Paul said, forgetting those things, and then I'm reaching. Reaching. I'm going to continue to reach. I've got to continue to reach. And when I get this thing and I pull it, there's going to be something else to reach for. And I'm going to continue to reach and reach and reach. Why? Because my ultimate goal isn't just to win today. My ultimate goal is to make heaven my home. And that's what I'm shooting for. I'm shooting to be called up. Amen. I'm shooting for that goal and the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Praise God.
Amen.
Identity equates to the entirety of a man, the wholeness of the individual. Amen. We can look at what the outward appearance of a man reflects, and we can begin to draw conclusions concerning the entirety of that individual. But simply defining a man due to his outward appearance can be detrimental due to negating the powerful revelation that Jesus gave us, in which our identity does not just come from the outward man, but is more greatly defined by the inward man.
Yeah.
Jesus gave us that revelation. Matthew chapter number 23 and verse number 25.
Woe unto you.
This is the definition.
Scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye make clean the outside of the cup.
He said, you're all worried about the outside of the cup. And that's where you put all of your attention. You're so worried about the outside. You stand up in the mirror every day and you make sure that all the phylacteries are right. You make sure that everything is right. Amen. And thank God that some people do. And he says, but woe unto you, for you make the outside clean.
Yes. But within they are full of extortion and excess.
But inside you are full of greed and self-righteousness or self-indulgence. He said, you've got the outside right, but I'm telling you, the inside is dirty. And the way and the reason that it's dirty is because it's full of greed. Give me, give me, give me, give me. And it's full of self-indulgence. I want, I want, I want, I want.
Yeah. Jesus.
You notice that he didn't say that the inside was full of murders and full of child molesters and stuff. He just said that the inside was full of greed and self-indulgence. Two verses later, in verse number 27, he says,
woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees.
He's going to give them another example.
Yeah, hypocrites.
Hypocrites.
For ye are like unto whited sepulchres.
You're like a tombstone.
Which indeed appear beautiful outward.
On the outside, it looks like a beautiful thing.
But are within full of dead men's bones.
In the inside, though, it still has dead men's bones.
And of all uncleanness.
And it is full of all uncleanness. It's full of the putridness. It's full of the defilement. It's full of the rotting of the flesh. It's full of all of the disease. Amen. And the rotting of all of that. And amen, the dead men's bones. He said, but yet the outside looks really great. But I'm telling you, it's the inside that matters.
Right, right.
Amen. And so in both references, Jesus defines the clean on the outside and dirty on the inside as hypocrisy. I just wonder how many practicing, amen, hypocritical Pentecostals, apostolics we have in this day and age. I'm not worried about everybody else. I'm just worried about us.
Yeah, come on.
And I'm not just talking about this church. I'm talking about in general. How many of us, amen, that we point our fingers at the Pharisaicals, amen, the Pharisees. How many of us would point our fingers back in Jesus' day, amen, and look at that and say, amen, glory to God, hallelujah, that's right. You know, they got the outside right, and they, amen, but we fail to realize that we're following in the same footsteps. I'm going to prove to you that the outside does matter. But I want you to know that the inside matters a whole lot more than the outside. And you know why I say that? Because Jesus said, amen, that you're a hypocrite if you only have the outside right and the inside is wrong. But there is no definition for somebody that's got the inside right, amen, and the outside wrong. As a matter of fact, there's no scriptural example of somebody with the inside right and the outside wrong. You know what that means? That means when you get the inside right, the outside will take care of itself. Why? It's relational. It's relationship. It's relation. It's love. And when you get the inside right, you're not just operating out of obligation, but now you're operating out of love. And so we're going to talk about the inner man. The inner man. Don't act too bored. I still got 30 minutes. You're the one that called me long-winded. So I'm just trying to not make you a liar. I have no idea who said that. I thought it was absolutely hilarious, okay? Don't be offended by it. It made my day. Put a smile on my face. And so I have studied
I don't know, 9 or 10 hours today, just trying to feel it. Amen. Praise God. Let's talk about the inner man. The inner man. Proverbs chapter number 23 and verse number 7, he says,
"For as he thinketh in his heart,"
he thinketh in his heart,
"so is he."
Oh, we've got an issue here. We've got a principle. We've got a principle that is being given unto us. And it says, "For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he." I thought we thought with the mind. I thought we used the brain to think and to reason. But yet the Bible, as a matter of fact, it's the wise man, the wisest man in Scripture, has got a little insight for us. And he says, "As the man thinketh in his heart." As the man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So let me break this down from the Cowan commentary. I have a translation, but I've also got commentary. And that simply means, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. It's not the appearance of the outward man that identifies him, but it's rather the inner thought process of the man that identifies him. Because as he thinks, so is he. You cannot separate one's thoughts from the individual. Your inner man is more of an indicator than of who you are than your outward man is. Let me give you some examples. The other day, last Saturday morning, I woke up and I decided I was going to go hunting. And so I went to specific bin. B-I-N. I went to a specific bin looking for something. And as I opened that bin up in my basement and I began to dig through it, I found camouflage. And I pulled out those camouflage pants. And I pulled out that camouflage shirt. And I put on camouflage. And then I have one of them. I forgot what they're called now. Just slipped my mind. It could be a neck gaiter, but there's another word for it. What is that thing? See, you forgot too. Oh, well. But you put it over your head, and it comes down to about your eyebrows, and you pull this part up over your nose. And so the only thing that you can see is the eyeballs. And I put on my camouflage gloves. And I got out there in that stand. And there I sat in that stand waiting for you know what. And then all of a sudden they appeared. And here they come walking in. And here I was facing the north, and they walked in from the north. And they walked right past me, and they weren't looking up. And they kind of jumped over the fence and moseyed over there to the feeder. And I stood up, and I just wanted to see. I wasn't interested in shooting any of them. And so I drew back on one. I wanted to see just how much I could get away with. And I drew back, and I said, "Buddy, if I would have wanted to, you'd be tonight's dinner." And I just released down, and I hung the bow back up and sat there. And I said, "I wonder just how much I have to do." And so I just stood there. And there they were, content and just eating. And so I just kind of raised my hands. One saw something. He looked around and didn't see what he was looking for. So I was like, just kind of moving around. All of a sudden, one of them turned and looked.
and looked up and I want to say saw me, but had no idea what he was looking at because I had this camouflage on. And so there I am, no solids, and it's molten in with the leaves and all that other stuff. I've disguised myself because on the inside, I'm a hunter today. On the inside, I've got a mission. But on the outside, I want you to see me as a tree. I want you to see me as leaves. I want you to see me as foliage. I don't want you to see me and perceive who I really am because then you'll be afraid and you'll run off. So I'm simply saying it's not the outside man. It's not the outer man that indicates who you are. It's the inner man that defines who that you are. Amen. Praise God. Just because an individual wears enough clothes to cover every inch of flesh does not make them holy, because hiding under that robe, that clothing deep in the center of the fleshly body, could be a heart full of hate and murder and other atrocities. But let me just say that having an outward form of godliness should never be any justification to sin. James chapter number 4 and verse number 17 says,
therefore, to him that knoweth to do good.
With all of this said, if a man, amen, to him that knows to do good.
And doeth it not.
And if you do it not.
To him it is sin.
To him it is sin. Amen. It does not mean that you get a free pass if you've got long sleeves on. It does not mean that you get a free pass if your dress length is long enough. It does not mean that you get to sin if your neckline is high enough. It does not mean that you get to sin if everything on the outside is right. You can have everything on the outside right, amen, and yet knowing to do good doeth it not. You're still going to be held accountable, and God's going to say and define it as sin. But at the same time, everybody that's covering up their flesh, amen, is not covering up some ugly sin and robing themselves in self-righteousness as the Pharisees did. But some of us understand the relationship between God and His people. 1 Corinthians 6 and 19, amen, says,
what?
You ought to know some things here.
Know ye not that your body is the temple.
It is the temple
of the Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
Which is in you.
Yeah.
Which ye have of God.
You have of God.
And ye are not your own.
You're not your own.
For ye are bought.
You have been bought with a price.
Therefore glorify
God
in your body.
In your body.
And in
your spirit.
Which are God.
Which belong to God. Amen. Everybody that's wearing, amen, righteousness. Everybody that's got holiness on the outside. Amen. They're not covering up a bunch of sin. Oh, I'm telling you what. There's a lot of things that aggravate me. And I'm telling you today that Pentecost has been the dump for a lot of people, amen, that have used outward holiness, amen, as a way to disguise the sin and the horrible spirit of hate and vitriol that they have. And they've given Pentecost to a degree a bad name. I'm here to tell you today, I don't care what they call themselves. I don't care who they are. You've got to be right on the outside and on the inside. Praise God. Amen. He said that your body and your spirit belong to God.
Amen. That which is on the inside will eventually show up on the outside. Have you ever heard of somebody just simply say, I'm just tired of playing the game. Amen. I'm just tired of going along to get along. I remember one of my good friends lived for God. We was raised together as teenagers. Amen. Living for God. Amen. He began to talk about quitting. And he said those words, I'm just tired of playing the game. I thought to myself, my God, I didn't know it was a game. I thought this was life or death. This isn't chess and checkers. It's not Monopoly. Amen. It's not Risk. It's not life. Amen. This is real. I'm not playing a game. This is my soul. Amen. I gotta fight. I gotta pursue. I gotta perfect. If I'm gonna be saved, I cannot be weary in well doing if I plan to reap. Not feigning. The decision to seek a divorce does not just happen overnight. But inside, a long time ago, there was something that died. There was something that could not get over. And finally, after a period of time, that which is on the inside manifests itself on the outside. And words such as, I just don't love you anymore, come spilling out. Yeah. Amen. Words such as, I just want to do my own thing. Words such as, I want a divorce. Happens. It didn't happen overnight, but it's something on the inside. Somebody else stole your heart. Somebody else, something happened on the inside. And after a period of time, I'm tired of going along to get along. I'm tired of playing the game. And that which is on the inside becomes evident because thoughts become actions. And actions become behavior. And behavior becomes your identity. This is what Jesus said, Matthew chapter number 15, verse number 18.
But those things which proceed out of the mouth.
He said the things which proceed out of the mouth.
Come forth from the heart.
They come from the inner man.
And they defile the man.
And they defile the man. It's the inner man that has the power to defile the man. He says,
For out of the inner man
proceed evil thoughts.
Murders.
Adulteries.
Fornications.
Thefts.
False witness.
Blasphemies. And blasphemies. Jesus stated that adultery starts in the heart. It is a thought. And then the act of adultery is committed. And your thoughts become action. And this action becomes your identity. Because you are then an adulterer. Amen. If you're not effeminate, stop acting effeminate. If you're not a liar, stop lying. If you're not a pessimistic, then stop being negative. Amen. Paul said, neither give place to the devil. Amen. He said, let him that stole steal no more. If you're not a thief, then stop stealing. But before there were actions, there were thoughts that came from your heart. Where did that thought come from? As a man thinketh, so is he. You cannot be thinking about perverted things and not be affected by it and carry it forth in action. You cannot allow things to run around in the inner man and not expect them to somehow, amen, come to fruition with the outer man. You cannot expect to ponder upon lasciviousness and not expect some time or another for it to bear forth fruit. For as a man thinketh, so is he. Praise God. Let me hurry along. Amen. Proverbs chapter number 4 and verse number 23.
Keep thy heart.
Keep your heart.
With all diligence.
With all diligence.
For out of it.
Here's why.
are the issues of life.
Out of it are the issues of life. Keep your heart. This responsibility is yours. It's not the pastor's and it's not God's. The responsibility to keep your heart belongs to you. All of you young people, it's not mom's responsibility to keep your heart. It's not dad's responsibility to keep your heart. And thank God that mom and dad are there. Amen. And that mom and dad can set some parameters. And mom and dad can set some rules. And set some regulations. And mom and dad will be there to help that. Amen. Because mom and dad want to help you. And mom and dad want you to be saved. But ultimately, you've got to keep your heart. You've got to keep it. You, me, I've got to keep it. Nobody can stop you from thinking the things that you think except for you. But yet Paul told the Corinthian church, he said, casting down imaginations. And then later he said, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Whoa, I can't be thinking this. I can't allow my mind to run down this road. I've got to bring that imagination. I've got to cast it down. I've got to bring these thoughts into captivity and not just allow my mind to go crazy. Why? Because this affects who I am. It affects who I am. As a man thinks, so is he. And so I have to keep my heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Amen. He said, be ye holy. That's my responsibility. Keep your heart. That's my responsibility. And let me just say it like this. If I have to keep my heart, then that means I could also lose my heart.
That's right?
Yes. Otherwise, why is it so important to keep it? If at any given time I can just go by and pick it up. He said, keep your heart with all diligence. With all diligence. That's a heavy command right there. Different transliterations state, keep your heart with all diligence, or keep your heart with all diligence. One said, guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. Praise God. Determines the course of your life. The objective is clear. If you're going to keep or retain your heart, you have to give it your all in order to do it. If you're going to be holy, you've got to give all diligence to guarding your heart, to the seat of the emotion and the inner man. Praise God. You are setting yourself up for failure. Don't get tired on me yet. I still got some time. Praise God. You are setting yourself up for failure. I felt this today in the spirit as I began to put this down on my, type it into my computer. You are setting yourself up for failure if you are looking to face your giant and looking to face your adversary. As 1 Peter chapter number 5 and verse number 8 says, amen, that your adversary as a roaring lion seeketh whom he may devour. You are setting yourself up for failure if you're looking to just approach him with an outward adorning.
Oh, come on. Yeah. Yep.
Because the only thing that he's going to do is pat that outward adorning. Because he's not after that. He's after your heart.
Yeah.
He's after your heart. You see, I could step off into this here tonight, and I'm almost done. But I could step off into this tonight and say that that's why it's important that we watch what we wear and that we do not accentuate our bodies. Because in accentuating our bodies, we are advertising flesh. We are advertising sexual immorality. We are soliciting yeah. You know, even those Middle Easterns, they have this understanding. And that's why they cover their body completely.
And they don't cover their body with curvaceous material either, or tight clothes. Why? Because there is a principle there of that woman that is covered like that. And the husband says, she's mine and she's not for your eyes. And so she's going to dress in a way that does not solicit your eyes. Because if she's not soliciting your eyes, I don't have to worry about an affair. You see, there's a method to God's madness. Amen. Because God is pure and God is holy. And God said, you were on your way to a devil's hell, except that I stepped in and redeemed you. You were on your way to a lost eternity. Don't you ever forget that. Don't you ever forget that eternity for you was a lake of fire forever until I stepped in and I called you. For no man can come to me except that I would draw them. You didn't just happen to show up. You just didn't get lucky one day and find your way into an apostolic church and hear truth and salvation. But God had a plan for you, because it's not his will that any should perish. And God in his mercy and his grace came down unto you, and God beckoned you, and God said, look, I'll pay the ransom, I'll pay the note, I'll pay the price with blood in order to get you out of a lost eternity forever. And now you belong to me, and I am jealous. I am jealous over you with a godly jealousy. He said, I'm a jealous God. We learned what that was several weeks ago. He's not a coveting God. He's a jealous God. He says, you belong to me. You belong to me. Jealous isn't, I want that because I don't have that. That's coveting. Jealous is, this belongs to me. Keep your eyes off of it. And this is what God is. And so every time that you walk into a moment of temptation, and the only thing that you've got is an outward appearance, you're setting yourself up for a heartache. Let's stay in here today. You're setting yourself up for failure. I don't want to be like that. I don't want to be like that. Let me give you one more key. And let me explain it. Let me bring it down so it's better understood. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5 and verse number 23. We have visited this many, many times, and we're going to go back to it one more time. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5 and verse number 23.
And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly.
God says, the very God of peace. Now, Paul's writing this, but Paul is writing concerning God. He said, the very God of peace sanctifies. We all know what sanctification is. We went over that in the first week. Separated for a specific purpose. There's that hairbrush in the toilet. Remember that? Yeah. You're not the hairbrush in the toilet, but you've been sanctified. You've been separated for a specific purpose. The very God of peace sanctifies you wholly. Separates you and puts you aside for something very, very specific. Holy. And he says,
and I pray God.
I pray God.
Your whole spirit and soul and body.
Stop right there. We've been talking about this for several weeks. The three elements that make up a man. We've talked about it so much. Number one, spirit. Number two, soul. Number three, body. We talked about the order of it. Spirit first, soul next, body third. Now let's take it one step deeper. What's the first thing?
Spirit.
inner man. What's the second thing? Well, I'm a horrible teacher. Let's back up. Spirit first, soul second, body third. What's the first thing? Spirit, that's the inner man. What's the second thing? Soul, which is the inner man. And what's the third thing? Body, which is the outer man. Two-thirds of the man's makeup, two-thirds of humanity's makeup is inner man. And these are to be dealt with first. Spirit, soul. If you get your heart right, if you get your inner man right, that third man is going to fall into place. Jesus said, when you get it all mixed up and you throw the body first, you're like a cup that's on the outside all washed and clean, but on the inside it's full of greed and self-indulgence. When you get all of this out of order, you major on the outside and you're like a whited sepulcher. On the outside, it's all pretty. But on the inside, it's still full of dead man's bones and uncleanness. He said, that's hypocrisy and that's no strength. You don't have any strength for anything like that. He said, but when you get the inside right, there is no example of the outside being wrong. Does that mean that we are perfect? No, not at all. But that's where Paul said, I'm reaching. I'm forgetting and I'm reaching. I'm reaching for that mark of perfection. I haven't obtained it yet. I'm not telling you I've got all the answers. I'm not telling you I know how to do it. I'm not telling you I'm writing the book on how to get over it. He said, I'm not there yet. But I will tell you what I'm doing. I'm forgetting about yesterday. I'm forgetting about the things that have already behind me. Because they're not going to do me any good today. And I continue to reach and reach and reach for that perfection, for that mark of the high calling, God in Christ Jesus. I'm telling somebody today, you've been struggling because you've been going at it all wrong. I know I'm talking in the Holy Ghost tonight. You've been struggling because you've been going at it all wrong. You've been fighting. You've been struggling. You've been thinking to yourself, you know what? If I just try harder, I'll be okay. Let me ask you a question. Where has that gotten you? Where has that gotten you? It didn't keep the scissors out of your hair. Where has that gotten you? It didn't keep you from sneaking around doing things that you know you shouldn't have been doing. Where did that get you? It didn't keep you, amen, from sneaking around and listening to things that you shouldn't have been listening to and talking to people that you shouldn't have been talking to. It didn't do it. You know why? Because that's the way of the hypocrites. Change it. Tonight you have an opportunity. Tonight you've got an opportunity to change it. Because every time you mess up, condemnation is like a big giant that just slaps you across the face and knocks you over and back up against the wall. And when you set up with that mark of condemnation across your face, and you begin to dwell, I messed up past. You say, well, it just happened. It's still past. I messed up. I messed up. I snuck off because nobody knew me. And I snuck over to the movie house and watching movies. I snuck off and I did this and I did that and stuff. Tonight's an opportunity to change some stuff up. Because you've been having this revelation that On the outside, if I keep the outside right, it'll be okay. No, no, no. Spirit, soul, and then body. Spirit, soul, and then body. Somebody needs to come work on their heart here tonight. Come on, these altars are open here tonight. You need to come work on your heart. Hallelujah. Come on, coming to the altar is not a moment of weakness.
Oh, yes, God. Yes,
the altar was never even made for the sinner. It was made for the saint. Coming to the altar isn't a sign of being a sinner. Coming to the altar is a sign of submitting. God, I'm coming back to the altar. That's what Paul said. Paul said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present yourselves a living sacrifice. A living sacrifice. Holy, 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 acceptable. Amen. You've heard me say it before. That's the problem with the living sacrifice. Just keeps getting off of the altar. Just keeps getting off of the altar. Hallelujah. Got to put it back on the altar. Oh God, here I am again tonight. Hallelujah. Come on, let's cry out to the Lord today. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God.
Jesus.